Hello and welcome to this month's episode of Share, Learn, Connect. I'm Ash Panetta, and today I'm meeting with Suzanne Gretsch, who is here to talk to us about National Reconciliation Week and the impact that strong connections have had on her life. She talks about starting her own business from the ground up to working as a manager of Indigenous support and growth here at Downer. Downer acknowledges the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast is recorded, and wherever you are listening to this episode today. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and extend that respect to any Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people listening today. This episode contains content that may be confronting to some listeners. Please check the show notes for more details.
My name is Suzanne Gretsch, and I'm the manager of the Indigenous Support and Growth Team here at Downer. I've been here for since September last year, 2022, and we holistically look after and support initiatives across the business and programs as well.
Could you provide us some background of who you are, where you've come from, and about your upbringing?
I am an Aboriginal Maltese woman. Growing up, I tended to address myself as a multi-regional woman along the way, but I come from a very rich cultural background on both sides of my family. So my dad's Maltese family, very culturally rich and grateful for my grandfather being such high work ethics and culturally, you know, speaking language around the household, a very loud and big family. And then my mum's side is Aboriginal Gamilaroi Wanneroa, and very quiet and quite reserved and very simple and quite calm kind of back, or you know, side of the family. But together I felt like I was raised in a very balanced environment between the two. I predominantly grew up in Newtown, so my hometown, where my mum's from and my sort of Aboriginal family is from Coonabarabran, which is the Gamilaroi side. But I lived predominantly in Sydney. But then leaving school, I went into the music industry, and that's where I kind of found my feet of, I guess, the corporate sector and what the corporate sector might look like. And I worked my way up there, and then I had my first child when I was quite young, at the age of, 21 at that point in time. I had a long-term high school partner, boyfriend, I guess you could say. And so, you know, young mum at the age of 21, and things didn't quite go to plan. I thought I had everything organised in way of, you know, having those really secure pieces to the puzzle of life, owning a home, owning a car, you know, having a stable relationship, holding down a stable job. But it came to the point where I had lost all of that by the time that my firstborn child was about 6 months old, and really didn't have a sense of belonging anywhere within the city, within Sydney. I'd returned back to Coonabarabran a few times, but I didn't really have a base there either, and so it was really quite hard to find a sense of belonging. And I think as a parent, and so young as a parent, you really take on the weight of ensuring that you're providing the right support, I guess, and, you know, that parenting support to say, well, you're now responsible for raising a small human being, and what am I, you know, how am I and what am I going to give to him? And at that point in time, you know, the relationship had broken down, and I wasn't working because I'd, you know, been on maternity leave.
One of the areas Downer has made a commitment to is using fully owned Indigenous businesses for subcontracting work or even catering for local events. We understand you also had your own catering company. What motivated you to start your own business, and what are some of the challenges?
To me, looking at myself in the mirror, what I seen looking back was a single young Aboriginal mum trying to raise a child on Centrelink. And to me, that was quite the opposite of what I was trying to achieve in way of being a woman in today's society. So I packed my firstborn up and we packed him up, and I actually drove until I literally ran out of petrol, and I ended up in Yarrawarra up near Red Rock, and it's this beautiful little coastal area, and they took me and my son in, and there over a three-year period time, I got quite involved in bush food and, you know, propagating and using bush food and sort of combining bush food. They gave me, and being involved with the food really gave me a sense of belonging, and like I was finding more about my culture. So after a period of time, when I had all my qualifications, I really had a point to prove that I belonged in the city. And so we packed up again and we headed back to the city, and for a little while there I was working out of a small park in Marrickville, just feeding the homeless as part of Marrickville Council's, one of their programs, their free programs, the community programs that they ran. And there I would cook a meal over lunch three times a day, and my eldest was now in kindergarten at school, so during school hours I would cook a feed for all the homeless people on the corner of Marrickville Road. And through that I had the opportunity to meet a beautiful lady called Carolyn Glass Patterson, and she sat me down one day and said, you know, the stuff that you do is amazing, how you really bring bush food to life, and people need to learn about that. You know, she's just like, why do you do it? And then secondly, how do we get, you know, how do we share this? And so from there she gave me my very first catering job. She wanted to get catering from myself, and at that point in time I didn't have an ABN, or I didn't even know how to operate a business or what a business plan was or anything like that. She spent about 3 to 4 weeks with me just really working, coming down to the park every day, showing me some time and really building a relationship with me, and the support that she gave me allowed me to be able to have a functionable business plan. And then we registered an ABN, and I was able to provide for her in, reciprocation, or, you know, some food over a NAIDOC event. And the first time that I provided the food, there was most probably about 30 people, and they signed up straight away for me to do that over on a contract basis for a certain events over periods of years. And then so they started off as my first catering client, and then 5 years down the track I had 350 clients that spanned all the way from the Central Coast right down to Wollongong, which I was traveling, and I was, you know, cooking out of a hired commercial kitchen, a tiny little commercial kitchen at that time. And I realized that I really did need to have my own space and have somewhere where I could concentrate on my cooking and be able to share that. And I guess the catering business had grown significantly that I needed the space. So we moved into Redfern, into the Purple Goanna Cafe, and we ran the cafe for 5 years and the catering alongside of the cafe for going into its 10th year. And the day that I knew that I had created a sense of belonging for people is when there was one day there was this big table that sat at the front of the cafe, and there was a elderly ladies between the age of 60 to 90 even maybe, and they were just having a cup of tea and having young, all from different backgrounds. Wow. And the you know, the sounds and the joy in their voice of when they were laughing, and I just thought, you know, I was really content that I had provided a place where people could feel like they belonged, and it was something that I didn't have when I was, you know, growing up or going into that kind of working career.
What led you to transition from small business owner to working in corporate?
I had Westpac, or I had one of the big four banks were my clients at that point in time. And I went to them and I said, you know, I really do think that there is something about Indigenous businesses and that we bring benefit to the sector, and that there is great social outcome that can be achieved by just being inclusive and opening the door, just like Carolyn had done for me. You know, by opening that one door, I ended up really progressing and finding my feet in something that I was truly passionate about. And so the bank said, yeah, you know, we'll create a role for you and you can come on board and you can be part of our procurement team and you can oversee our spend targets and our reconciliation action plan deliveries and look at our contracts and look at the clauses in our contracts and see where we can go. But after 4 years, I really felt like, yes, you know, I had this strong belief that corporate was the perfect platform to be able to create social change. And I really had this, you know, yes, it's going to be, you know, I can contribute towards that. But then after a little while, established the processes and established the policies and everybody was on board and everybody really, you know, was passionate about achieving those outcomes as well, I thought, I'm really not needed here anymore. How can I jump the fence and go back to help Aboriginal business owners be able to, you know, really raise the profile of their businesses but also their delivery and this, the quality of their service? So I moved into a service operating company. I spent 4 years there. Just working across the likes of cleaning and security and electricity and things like that. Yeah, I started consulting on my own for a little while and then, you know, Downer, I guess, was looking to go into that space of what was the contribution they could make to this sector and how could they really identify and streamline their efforts to, you know, get better outcomes. And I really wanted to be a part of that. So, been here for the last 8 months.
And you spoke about how you felt like you didn't really belong. Can you touch more a bit about that? Do you mind me asking where that stems from?
Yeah, so my nan is a part of the Stolen Generation and my great-grandmother is part of the Stolen Generation. And I think growing up there was a lot around being an Aboriginal person there was no benefit in society to be able to talk about it or to showcase culture or to, you know, tell people that you are because society didn't see us in a light that was beneficial or that we had anything good to give. So it simply wasn't a place of where you could talk about what you wanted. And I think growing up for us in our generation, we didn't have Aboriginal curriculum in the schools like they do today and we didn't talk about inclusion and belonging back then when I was at school. It was a very different time and era, I think. And I always felt this urge to, I always felt that the path that I was on was not the path that I was meant to be on. And there was always something calling me in a different direction and I just didn't know where that quite came from. But, you know, when I think about the elements of what Aboriginal culture stands for is all those really significantly natural things like connection to country and, you know, listening to your sixth senses and what your belly's telling you or what you can hear in way of, you know, what's the wind telling you that's going past or all those really outside of the box things that I think I never got a chance to be able to share or that my nan never shared that with me growing up. But then we think about my nan and my nan growing up in, you know, on a farm and having to work for, you know, at the age of 12 being taken away from the mission and having to work on a farm for a family that she didn't know and being removed from her brothers and sisters and her mum and dad and the trauma that I think builds up from that is the reason of why I didn't feel a sense of belonging because the sharing of that core of the culture and the connection to things was removed, you know, was surrounded by trauma.
That must have been so hard.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my mum grew up in the 60s and when we think about the referendum and the 1967 referendum and the times that she spent at school, then, you know, her growing up, it, was no benefit for her, for anybody to know or identify as an Aboriginal person back then, because it was still so raw and it was still, you know, such a segregation between Aboriginal people. So growing up, my mum never raised me and my brother with cultural connections. But then something just, you know, flicks inside you where you think, you know you're not the person that you're meant to be, and there's something telling you to go down a different path. And so when you go down that different path, then you start to get a sense of belonging, and then that starts to reinvigorate your, you know, passion to be able to learn more. And we talk about National Reconciliation Week this year, and the theme is Be a Voice for Generations. I know that I had so many people being a voice for me over the time period of my career journey, and if they didn't have a voice for me, I most probably wouldn't be sitting here today. And so, you know, just the fact of ensuring that we continue the stories and that we continue to advocate for Indigenous business owners or Indigenous community partners or whatever that might look like. But the voice does matter, yeah, and the voice does channel in to different generations. So I look at my kids now and I think, if those people didn't speak up for me when I was going through my career journey, I don't think that my kids would be in the same, in the beneficial positions that they are today. The flow-on effect of those people that had a voice for me and showed me that they were right behind me all throughout my career journey. And there were many, there were most probably about four or five of them that I could really name and say made a big difference, have impacted my children as a different generation.
Did you have any significant people or mentors in your life who helped guide you on your path?
Yes, I do. And I most probably can put one at the very top of all of that, and that would have to be my younger brother. As much as he is younger in age to me, he definitely is more connected and more wiser and more culturally wise than I am. And I often look to him for the strength and power to be able to do things that I know are important to the both of us, regaining our culture back from a stolen generation period has been something that's been truly hard for the both of us. But we've both landed in positions where we've been able to not only learn but prosper and grow through it and then share as well. And so to continue the cycle of sharing towards our kids and sharing with each other and sharing with our extended family, so that we're ensuring that anything that we've learnt along the way, we're building the strength within our culture, even though so much has been taken away from us historically.
Just the two of you.
Yes, yeah. Just the two of us.
So thank you so much, Suze, for explaining the story to us today. And I'm very excited that we get to be here to speak about National Reconciliation Week. Can I ask what this week means to you personally, and what it means for your team here at Downer?
So Reconciliation Week, for me personally, is most probably the most important week for me of the whole year, not just because we have such strong industry bodies around, like Reconciliation Australia and Supply Nation and New South Wales ICC, all that sort of push for us to be doing something across for Reconciliation Week, but for the fact that it highlights reconciliation as the core achievement for the week. Reconciliation, National Reconciliation Week, is bordered by two very significant dates. The first obviously being the first referendum in the 1967, and then the Eddie Mabo case. So when we think about what that means in way of being fighting for rights and bringing things together, and maybe not so much apologising for the history of things, but acknowledging the history of things and the past situations that we've been in, and then identifying what we want to do to reconcile that. It's most probably one of the biggest weeks, I think, that we have across the whole year. And as a corporate, to show one interest but then support for that, I think is a great achievement for this country nationwide, it means that we continue to be a voice for each other, and we continue to advocate for that reconciliation piece that is at the core of bringing everyone back together.
Can you tell us about any current projects or initiatives you're currently working on that you're particularly passionate about?
The Indigenous Support and Growth Team have 9 core areas of our strategy here at Downer. And one of those pillars or one of those areas is employment. And we see employment being able to provide great opportunity for career journeys, for learning, for a whole range of different things. So we have a new program that we're looking to launch in the new FY year, which will be called DEEP. And I can say that now because it's gone to the board. DEEP stands for Downer's Indigenous Employment Program. And so we really are looking at redefining how we do First Nations employment here across Downer, and to bring more of a 360-degree insight and support mechanisms to be able to achieve and I guess the equity that is missing from that space. So when we think about employment, sometimes we're looking at generations that it's the first generation for employment for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. Sometimes when we look at, what support is needed, sometimes it's around how do you iron your shirt to get to work for tomorrow? Or it could be how do I advance my career from a senior manager to a CEO? It's very vast. But our DEEP program has taken into consideration that we have around fluctuating between 530 to 600 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander employees across the business at any one point in time, and that every single one of them needs support.
Yeah.
Maybe not needs, but at least we have it there available for them to have support. Yeah. So we'll incorporate mentoring into that, career progression into that, onboarding support, talent acquisitions. We'll work with our very much appreciated community partners in the space, like the Cowboys Foundations and the Stars Foundations partners, and ensure that we really do communicate the opportunities that are coming out of Downer for the, for the growth of the next generation coming through.
So on behalf of Downer Sis, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to commemorating National Reconciliation Week with you and your team this year.
Thanks, Ash, and thank you so much for having me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening. Join us next month for another episode of Share, Learn, Connect Season 3.